Welcome to TBP Talks, the Blogger Programs podcast. I'm your host, Olivia Kate, and this is your dose of influencer trends, current topics, industry events, and all things millennial. We will be getting up close and personal with some of the blogger industry's most renowned influencers, experts, and thought leaders. We hope to give you all the tips and tricks that you need to nail the world of influence. Good morning and welcome to TBP Talks. This is episode one of the Blogger Programs podcast and we are so excited to be here. My name's Olivia and today I am joined by three of the very lovely TBP team members, Hayley, Ed and Pooja. Hi guys.
Good morning.
Hi.
So we thought we would go straight in and kickstart our first podcast by talking about the influencer marketing industry. Now this phenomenon has totally reversed the brand consumer dynamic, with consumers firmly in control with when, where, how and even if brand engagement will occur. So for brands who are maybe looking to get into influencer marketing, how would you guys describe what it is that we do and how it has become such a beneficial marketing tool?
TBP is essentially a platform-led agency that connects brands and influencers together.
Yeah, it's the bridge between the brands and the influencer, built on our knowledge and relationships and our platform.
We basically have four different ways and we connect brands and influencers. We obviously have our platform, which is a self-service. But then we also run ad hoc campaigns, various different influencer events, trips abroad, and we also have in-house talent management.
And why do you think influencer marketing has become such a phenomenon? It's taking over more traditional forms of advertising and marketing nowadays. So what is it that makes it so special and so beneficial?
I think for me, when I get the tube in the morning, there's more people that are looking at their phones than reading a newspaper or looking at the ads.
Absolutely,
I can see it from a brand's perspective in the fact that they're more visible when it comes to Instagram and working with influencers. But it's also nice to kind of see this new breed of talent of creators, essentially working with those brands and kind of working it organically into their lives.
And what advice would you give to those who are maybe trying to break into the industry as an influencer? I think a lot of people see the success of influencers, but maybe aren't so aware of what they've, you know, the hard work they've had to put into it. So what advice would you give?
I think for me, my experience working on campaigns is ultimately we're looking for people that are professional and reliable. And from a brand's perspective, it's something that's quite new for them to be doing. And it's something they're used to doing maybe internally or with one agency. So to have that third party come in, they are looking for people that are more professional and reliable and that they can count on campaign after campaign. And just to keep on top of your emails, keep communicating, even if you can't meet a deadline, just keep people up to date. And then ultimately also be creative with the content you put forward. We at TBP give out briefs, but they're still very open to interpretation. And I think it's always nice to get the content back and see how different it is from influencer to influencer.
And do you think it's important that influencers nowadays have a niche, or, you know, what kind of content should they be putting out there?
I think it works both ways. I think if it's something like food or fashion, then I think it's good to have a niche because you're kind of marking out what you do and what you do well. But if it's so specific that it limits you to what else you can do, then I'm not sure it's that beneficial. I think ultimately it has to be the thing that you enjoy most and that you're good at, because that will come across in your content. So there's no point in doing it if you just feel like it's going to help you work with the most brands. It has to be something that you're generally interested in and that you're good at, really.
I think it comes down to your passion points. Obviously, starting a blog or on Instagram is a lot of hard work. So if it's something you're doing outside of work, then I would suggest focusing on your passion points. So if your passion point is food, then absolutely put your heart into creating content in terms of food. If you're passionate about fashion and shopping, then create fashion content.
Absolutely. And do you guys think it has become a slightly saturated market?
No, I don't think it is saturated. I think each influencer can offer something unique. And also every influencer's personality is different. So I think it's important to let that shine through in your content. And there's always a space for every influencer, I believe.
And a big talking point at the moment is sort of what point are you classed as an influencer? do you think it depends on following anymore? Is it more engagement? Sort of at what point can you call yourself an influencer?
I think it's like Pooja said, I think you have to let your personality come through. And if it's something you're passionate about and you want to share, then people will follow you for that reason. So you could have like 1,000 followers or 40, as long as people are engaging because it's true to yourself and it's about what you like doing and what you believe in. I think people will follow you for that reason.
Yeah, I think it's as well, popularity doesn't always equal influence, does it? So I think as long as they've got an influenced and engaged audience,
yeah,
that's the main thing that brands are looking for.
Yeah, and there's so many different reasons why people engage with your content. Like if you're a fashion influencer, people might not necessarily comment and like on your photos. It could just be that they follow you because they know they like every outfit that you post, and your USP essentially might be that you drive more sales for brands, but it might be that brands, maybe a food influencer generates more comments and likes based on recipes they create. It's very different, I think, for each influencer, and each industry, I guess, has its strengths.
I effectively think the moment someone goes out and buys something, they see on their Instagram, you're an influencer. If you influence people, even if it's your friends and your family, you're an influencer.
So a recent article that I read actually said how blogs are no longer becoming a criteria for being an influencer or an online content creator, and instead things like Instagram is really now the new platform. And I know a lot of us here work with brands on different campaigns. So what is the most sort of popular content that brands are currently requesting?
From the brands that I've worked with on our campaigns, I'd definitely say Instagram. Usually whatever platform they go for, Instagram's always in there.
And do you think that's because they're not seeing a return on investment on blogs, or sort of why are they more inclined to ask for now an Instagram picture rather than a blog post?
I think blogs still definitely have their place. Like they have the ability to be very informative and give a lot more information on things that you can't necessarily get in an Instagram post. And if it's a brand that's looking for to educate and inform audiences or customers, then a blog post still is the right one to use. But I guess with Instagram, it's the platform everybody uses. You don't really have to go anywhere externally to find content. It just kind of comes up in your feed. So I guess there's an element of it being quite like a trend-focused platform and wanting to be there as a brand.
I think Instagram stories, sometimes clients prefer Instagram stories than Instagram posts. Because they feel that if they're looking to increase sales, that's more of a direct link because people can just swipe up and the traffic can go to the client's website.
Okay.
I'd also say with Instagram, a large part of it is actually content creation. I think if you were paying an influencer for one Instagram post, they'd probably put a lot more effort into creating that one Instagram post to the best of their ability. Whereas obviously with blog, as Hayley mentioned, it's more about talking about the product or whatever it is you're promoting in a lot more detail rather than focusing on the imagery as much.
Yeah, definitely. And what do you think this means for bloggers? Because if we go back to, say, 2008, it was very much written blog posts that were the norm. Fast forward to 2018 and we've got YouTube influencers, podcast influencers, influential speakers. There's so many different varieties of influencers out there. So is this a negative or a positive, would you say, for new bloggers coming in?
I think with any industry, every company has to adapt to competitors and industry changes. So if, as an influencer, if you're finding that your audience is more engaged on Instagram, then you need to be savvy to that. It doesn't necessarily mean that your blog isn't of any value, and if you do think it is, then I think it's still worth putting in the time, because there are brands that do still want to use them, still do see them as valuable content. But I think it's important to pay attention to any new channels that come up and how your content fits in with that. I think on the flip side, you don't have to tick every box and have every platform going, but it's just where your audience is and what you feel is relevant to your content and the way you communicate to an audience.
And as Instagram seems to obviously prove to be one of the most popular forms of social media, what do you guys think of this very millennial obsession of having a perfect Instagram grid? Would you say it's important as an influencer and a brand to have a cohesive, perfect looking feed?
I would say the wanting to be perfect, wanting to have the perfect grid actually takes the fun away from Instagram, because that's pressure.
That's interesting, yeah.
And actually people just kind of like to see real life and lifestyle, and actually sometimes imperfections are nice.
Yeah.
So it's something I personally used to obsess about, but I don't anymore.
So you don't feel you have to have the same theme and colours going on. You don't think that's a factor at all now.
I think themes are nice. I think it's good to have that continuity, and that's what kind of makes you stand out as an Instagrammer. But having the right photos next to each other, it's not essential.
Yeah, I would agree with Ed. I feel like also when you start doing that, a lot of feeds and a lot of different influencers tend to have like the same feeds, and that sort of takes away from your unique profile when you try and copy what others have.
And are there any specific influencers that you guys follow that their feeds really stand out? It's someone's that you would go back to time and time again?
There's actually a US influencer called Alyssa Lenore. The main reason why I like her feed is because she puts a lot of thought and effort into the pictures that she posts. But also each image is very unique to what I've seen other influencers post. And that's one of the main reasons why I tend to follow people in the first place.
Yeah, because they're not like the same old, yeah. Different. Yeah.
So there's a guy in New York called Eric Blue Collar Prep. What I love about him is he manages to create an authentic Instagram, including his adorable family, but still do adverts, but in a way that it really fits organically into his grid. And he's also got a great style.
Personally, I like Laura's Little Locket.
Oh yeah, I've heard of her.
I've followed her for a while. Everything she wears I would buy.
Yeah.
And it's all high street based, and it's very similar to how I shop. So it's, for me, I know anything she's going to wear.
So she more fashion, lifestyle?
Yeah, it's kind of fashion, lifestyle and beauty stuff. She has short hair like I do, so it's very similar. So I feel like...
And that's what you're drawn to, yeah.
Yeah, just very similar to how I would dress and...
There's one I've come across actually recently called Tash Oakley, and I love looking at sort of travel and where she's going, and she has a really nice curated feed because it's not overly edited, her pictures. I think a lot of influencers nowadays are really heavily editing, but hers are quite natural, but then it also kind of shows her everyday life, so she's a really good one to follow as well. So are there any apps that you guys use or can recommend for editing, scheduling, just apps on your phone at the moment that you really go to for editing your pictures or scheduling your posts?
For editing, I recently came across the Retouch app.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It's literally a lifesaver. If you have something in the background of your picture, it could be a pigeon, it could be a sign. If you want to edit something out, all you have to do is swipe over it and instantly it just takes it out of your picture.
I need that one.
I'm loyal to Lightroom. I absolutely love how I can just lift a picture. And also, you know, there's not the ability to over-edit in it, and you can create your own filters. I'm quite fussy, so like, I've never found a filter in VS Code that I actually like,
no.
Ever. I know a lot of bloggers do like using it, but I just like to create my own custom filters because I know how I like my tones. And then for stories, I really like Unfold. I like the ability to create nice collages and put nice fonts on top of my stories.
I think that's a really good app, yeah.
Yeah.
For scheduling apps, I'd suggest Planoly. It's not something I use myself, but influencers have, I've seen them use it before.
I think it's the best scheduling one out there, isn't it?
Essentially just plan out your, if you're somebody that wants to plan out your feed, you can plan it out, see how everything looks together. I think a lot of influencers use it when it comes to ads, to seeing how it's going to fit in with like their weekly content and make sure it doesn't stand out of place or there isn't like two ads together. So it's quite helpful if you're kind of planning ahead when you're working with brands.
Definitely, yeah. So another hot topic at the moment that a lot of people are talking about is that, is this millennial obsession just a way of making ourselves feel better? So have we become an obsessive generation, and do we use Instagram to glorify ourselves?
I do think on Instagram sometimes we tend to portray a perfect life, and I don't necessarily think that's a healthy way of living, but it is sort of the generation we're living in at the moment.
I think in essence we're creating a hyper reality of what our lives actually are.
Yeah, definitely.
But is that a bad thing?
I see it more as a curated diary where we include our kind of best moments, and I think it's going to be such a nice thing to look back in the next couple of years over and go, oh yeah, I remember when I went to lunch with that friend and caught up after a while, or I remember when I went travelling to that destination. So I think that's where kind of reality hits in.
And I think as well, if you sort of compare it to things like a dating website or a dating app, you put your best picture up, don't you? You're not going to put a bad day or a bad picture. So if you kind of compare it in that way, I think it's okay. But I think where there's a fine line is when it becomes detrimental to people's health.
And I think with people on Instagram, you don't know everything that's behind that photo. You don't know the ins and outs of their body image and anything they've changed or anything they're unhappy with. Everybody has things that they don't like about themselves. And like you say, they're not going to put up a bad picture. So if you're seeing that kind of content on a regular basis, it is going to make you feel a bit rubbish after
yeah.
a while. So you just have to be clever about who you follow and make sure they're in relation to how you see yourself, I guess.
But I actually think more and more influencers are also now showing the reality behind their images. I've seen a lot of influencers do before and afters. I've seen influencers actually post an image that they have photoshopped, but then on their stories completely admitted to the fact that they photoshopped
it. Wow, really?
Because they want to be real with their audience.
Parents are the best ones to follow for that. They're so open and honest. Mm. One of my favourite influencers to work with is Harriet, who's Toby and Rue, and all her photos are just
very
chaos
real.
Of being a big family, and the posts are just funny. It's just being a real parent, and there's no kind of, although her images are really nice, there's no kind of hiding away from the fact that it is busy and chaotic.
And she still gets really good engagement.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're actually, her followers are buying into her as a person and who she is, which really makes her feel really good actually.
And ultimately that's what people trust, because if you're a parent who's looking for similar advice, then
she's
it's
more
like being honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you believe it more.
Definitely. So moving away slightly from Instagram, a lot of the blogging industry is revolved around collaborating, you know, meeting with bloggers, working together, networking. And we as an agency, we get to attend a lot of press events and brand launches. But what advice would you guys give to those maybe wanting to break into the industry when it comes to networking? Where would they start if they wanted to go to these type of events and network and build their following?
I think our platform is a great place to start. So we post a lot of events, and like Pooja said earlier, we do a lot of trips abroad. So it's a great way to apply for things like that and get started and see what's out there.
And I also think just chatting to other smaller bloggers that might have event opportunities come up, maybe they can't attend, maybe they're looking for a plus one, kind of work with them, because they might get invited to a different event to you, so you can invite each other. How nice is that?
Yeah, I think collaboration is key, isn't it, in this
yeah.
industry. A lot
like
of
support your
yeah.
blogger community, however big or small.
And I always find, I'm the type of person, I get incredibly nervous if I'm at an event by myself. I'm not one to go up to somebody straight away. So how would you initially walk up to someone and just start talking? What would your advice be?
I think what you have to remember is there are probably a lot of people in the same position as you. They're probably just as nervous as you. So you don't need to worry about going up to anyone. You know, they're not going to be horrible to you. If anything, it's just a good opportunity to make a new friend. And, you know, who knows, you might be going to more events with that person in the future.
I can't remember who told me. I think it was a friend, but said, if you're nervous and you have to go up to somebody, just give them a compliment, because it's always a good thing. It's like an
yeah.
icebreaker when
yeah.
when you're with someone.
Good.
So a recent headline that said that commuting is having a massive impact on our health. And that's not surprising with the awful overground services at the moment that I've been experiencing. But it was saying that job satisfaction is down, and that just 20 minutes extra commuting a day can equal to a 19% pay cut, as well as higher rates of anxiety and elevated blood pressure. So what I want to know is, do you guys commute? And if you do, how long for?
My commute is an overground
yeah.
service.
Is it terrible like mine?
It's actually not that bad. Like when it's running smooth, it's good, but if it's cancelled,
then you're in trouble.
Said, yeah, it's stressful and I just want to get home and I'm not instantly in a bad mood.
And what would your commuter hacks be? If you
my
could help.
Kindle. I always have my Kindle, although sometimes I go on to Netflix, but always just have something, like download something on Netflix, like Friends, something you know you're going to just, is an easy watch, because there's nothing worse than being delayed and there's no like Wi-Fi or 4G and you're just stuck, just staring and it's busy. So always try and have something downloaded that I know I'm going to like, or a book that I can just read and I know I've got something there to just pass the time, I guess.
Yeah, I think you have to have a distraction, don't you? Otherwise
yeah.
it's just, you're surrounded by people and you're like sardines and it's sweaty
yeah.
and you're hot and you're standing and it's just not fun.
Yeah, and if you've got a good series, that 20 minutes just flies.
Yeah.
I don't actually want to get off sometimes.
I would say set that alarm half an hour early. I get the tube quite early because I can't get on otherwise.
Really?
So
is that packed?
Yeah, so I prefer to spend half an hour in a coffee shop and kind of be ready for my day and walk into work stressed, So I'd say just factor in some extra time and enjoy your morning.
That's a great tip.
I also take the tube, but my journey is around an hour long. And similar to Hayley, I do like to download things before I even start my journey, but I guess I'm more of a music person. So for me, I'm always on my phone and I'm always on Spotify. I make sure I have my songs downloaded. And then whilst I'm overground, I'm pretty much just scrolling on Instagram or catching up on Twitter for the latest gossip, basically.
Yeah, I also love listening to playlists. And then I also watch my favourite YouTubers. That can pass the time easily, especially if you're watching Lydia Millen, who now does 40 minutes worth of vlogs. They're getting longer and longer.
They're the best kind, though.
Yeah. So I think the majority of us here said that we use our phones most of the time when we're commuting. And this isn't a shock because it's been proven that our generation now get a feeling of separation anxiety when we are away from our phones. And there is even a saying now, and it's in the dictionary, called nomophobia, which is no mobile phone phobia. So are you guilty of this? Do you get nomophobia?
I do. I know it is really bad. I can go without my phone, but I sort of have to mentally prepare myself if
really?
I am going to do that.
That's awful, isn't it? That's our generation, though.
Yeah, I am that person that checks their phone as soon as they wake up and checks it as soon before they go to bed. I just can't live without it.
So you're definitely in the category, Ed?
I used to be awful. Like, I would spend so many hours on my phone, but I've just found other things in life to focus on that aren't my phone.
That's good, though. Are you going to expand on those other things, or you don't have to?
Like things like the gym, where you can't really be on your phone. Just
yeah.
Things like that.
Things to get you off technology.
Yeah.
I think I'm a bit of both. Like, if I don't have my phone on me, I don't feel anxious. I do make a conscious decision to sometimes not take my phone with me, or before bed, I'll leave my phone. So I'm not one of those people that is constantly like, where is my phone?
Obsessive, yeah.
But then if I'm bored, then I will just scroll through things.
Definitely.
Sometimes unless I'm occupied, then I rely on my phone.
I think as a generation we've become so desensitized to them, because I think it was the other day I was scrolling through Instagram and then I went to look for my phone to scroll through Instagram and I was on it. And it's so bad.
My pet peeve is when people get their phones out at meals. I just
yes.
Can't
what do we think about?
It's London streets when people are walking in front of you on their phone, so they're then walking slower.
Yeah, that's true.
Or when you're walking towards someone and they're walking towards you with their phone, they're looking down and they're about to bump into you. That's not a good look either.
There's just certain times where you don't need it. Like if you're walking to work, it's sometimes like a 5-10 minute walk for me. I don't need my phone. In that time.
You should look up.
Yeah.
Enjoy the views.
Cross the road whilst looking at the bike.
Yeah.
So dangerous.
Have any of you guys done a digital detox?
I think I just worry that if something ever happens to my family or anything, then I'll miss the phone call.
Okay, so you haven't. Hayley?
No. I think I did, but I haven't.
You've never done one?
No.
Yeah, I think I could if I wanted to, but I don't really feel the need to at the moment.
You just like being on your phone?
Yeah.
I lasted a day, so I went a whole day, but then I turned it on in the evening because I had such separation anxiety, so it doesn't count. Okay, so when we're not on our phones, let's talk about box sets. What are we all watching on TV? What are the latest series? Does anyone have any good recommendations?
So I'm actually not that much of a TV person. I'm actually more of a YouTube person.
Okay.
So I spend my evenings just catching up on YouTube and actually watching a lot of influencers. Like you mentioned before, a lot of vlogs nowadays are actually 40, 50 minutes long.
They're the same as a programme or a box set.
So for me, that's basically how I spend my time.
And what kind of influencers do you like to watch, and what kind of things are you watching?
Generally, I watch daily vlogs just because I feel like they're more relatable. So I do watch Lydia as well. I also watch Zoella, and then a few like American vloggers like the Ace family.
I've watched all Orange Is the New Black.
I got through to I think it was series 3 and then I stopped, but I need to get back into it.
Going. I'm one of those people that will watch.
You're persistent. Oh, really?
I can't switch off. And okay. I just finished Line of Duty and that was in about 2 weeks. And
okay.
That was the commute one. It's just ones that are really gripping. I need to know what happens next, but they don't have series 4 on Netflix, so I'm struggling.
A great Netflix one that I recently watched is Shooter, but I mean, it depends if people... I love crime films and I love that sort of... Okay, yeah, so it's very much like a crime film. He gets accused of something that he didn't do, and it's sort of how he gets himself out of it. So if you like action and thriller and crime, then Shooter is a great one. I'm also waiting for Stranger Things, the next series of that, to come on, because that was great. Did anyone watch that?
I actually haven't, and I feel like I've missed
Ed,
out.
Please
on
tell me
so
you've
much.
Watched it.
I've seen it, but I'm excited for series 2 of The Sinner.
Oh, what's that about?
This was amazing. Oh, just a serial killer. I'm really into RuPaul's Drag Race, and when I'm not watching it, I'm listening to music on my phone.
And how else do you guys spend your downtime if you're not watching TV or on YouTube?
I generally just pamper myself.
Nice.
I love a good beauty treatment, face mask, bubble bath.
Yeah, love a bubble bath.
Ways of relaxing. I love a good bath too. I think baths are really underrated. Cooking.
Oh,
that's a good one.
That's a great one. I love cooking. I'm not good at it, but I love cooking.
It's very therapeutic.
Well, I think that is a great time to wrap up our first podcast. Guys, thank you so much for being the first team members to feature on TBP Talks. Have you guys enjoyed yourself?
Had a great time.
Great way to start the day.
For those listening, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you want to hear more, then please keep an ear out for our next podcast. Bye, guys.